Shalom to all. Today's daf is about Basav Kuf Yud Ches, and we are starting Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis about 5 lines up from the bottom at the 2 dots. And today's daf is sponsored by Lili Nishmas Marsh Merim Sar Basav Yaakov Moshe. Her neshama should have an Aliyah. Now let's have a quick review. Yesterday we discussed the division of Eretz Yisrael and who is awarded portions, and there were two main categories. Number one are called Yotzei Mitzrayim, the people who left Mitzrayim, and this means that only for people who were 20 years old by Yitzias Mitzrayim they got awarded portions, and since they weren't alive when entering Eretz Yisrael, it went to their children. And category number two is Bayi Haaretz, people who went into Eretz Yisrael. They were the ones that got portions, and we had explained that a portion was allotted for them, but then it went back up the chain to their father or grandfather, and then was divided equally among the descendants. And this came about because Bnei Slavchad had approached Moshe Rabbeinu and said that our father died in the Midbar, and he doesn't have a son, so why should his name be removed, and that we shouldn't get anything? And because of this question of theirs, Moshe Rabbeinu came back with an answer from Hashem, saying that daughters get as well. So I think Mar tells us Simon, this is the Simon of the following questions our Papa is going to ask Abaye, L'Rav, Slavchad, V'Yosef, Ichbal, Menashe, and Yechashev. And so here's our first question. It makes sense according to the Manda Amar that Eretz Yisrael was given to Yotzei Mitzrayim. That's why the pasuk says Lurav Tarbe Nachlasoi Ulamat Tamet Nachlasoi. And we're going to explain this in a moment. Kufi Chasam Alfa on top. El Manda Amar LeBayi HaAretz. But according to the Manda Amar, Eretz Yisrael was apportioned according to the people who came into Eretz Yisrael. My Lurav Tarbe Nachlasoi. What's the understanding of this pasuk? And the Gemara concludes, Kasha, you're right. That's a good question. So let's explain this. Loosely translated, this pasuk that we just quoted, Lurav Tarbe Nachlasoi Ulamat Tamet Nachlasoi, means that the numerous get an increase in their portion and the fewer get a decrease. And that implies that this shevet that we're talking about really should have gotten a different amount, but now they're getting an increase or decrease. And what Papa just said is that according to the Manda Amar of Bayi HaAretz, this doesn't fit, because however many people the shevet currently has is how many portions they would be receiving. There's no increase or decrease, so it must be referring to a shevet that, although currently small, was larger when they left Mitzrayim and therefore now gets an increase. Or the other way around as well, even if they're currently numerous, since when leaving Mitzrayim there were few, they get a decrease, and that's again only according to the Manda Amar of Yotzei Mitzrayim. And as we just said, you're right, this is a good question. We don't have an answer to it. Now here's our second one. We understand according to the Manda Amar that Eretz Yisrael is apportioned based off of the people that left Mitzrayim. That's why the Menat Slavchad were Tzaveach. Now literally Tzaveach means to scream, but they weren't screaming or yelling at anyone. They came to petition Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what Tzaveach means, to petition, and that's the word we're going to use. So we can understand that they came to petition for their father's portion. According to the Manda Amar, the Eretz Yisrael is apportioned based off the people that are going into the land. Why would they petition him? There's no son that they should take. In other words, our public question is that their taina was based off of the fact that their father didn't have a son. As we had said, they told Moshe Rabbeinu that our father doesn't have a son to inherit. Now that implies that if he did, the son would get their father's portion. Now according to the Manda Amar of Bayi HaAretz, this taina isn't relevant, because even if there was a son, he wouldn't get Slavchad's portion, his father's portion, because Slavchad wasn't one of the Bayi HaAretz. So the only way this taina makes sense is according to the Manda Amar of Yotzei Mitzrayim. However, the Gemara pushes this question away and says that no, because Ella, rather we can answer Lechazara V'lito B'nechzei Chefer, that even according to the Manda Amar of Bayi HaAretz, they were saying that we're not going to be Zaycha to this concept of Chazara, which we had explained means all the portions of the Bayi HaAretz go up to their fathers or grandfathers and then get distributed through all the remaining descendants, and without a son they technically wouldn't be getting anything, and therefore Papa's question is pushed away. Now here's a third question of Papa. Bishlam Manda Amar Yotzei Mitzrayim. We understand according to the Manda Amar of Yotzei Mitzrayim, Hanu Dekot Savchan B'nei Yosef. We understand B'nei Yosef's question. It says in the pasuk and Sefer Yeshua, "Vaydaber b'nei Yosef." The b'nei Yosef, which is referring to Shevet Menashe, came to Yeshua and said that we have tons of people and we're not getting enough of Nachla. We'll explain this in a moment as well. El Manda Melabai HaAretz. But according to this Manda Amar, Maikat Savchi, what are they petitioning? Kulu Shakol, everyone's going to take. As we just said, this is referring to Menashe, a chiluk of Shevet Yosef, and they had increased tremendously in the Midbar, growing more than 60% numerous than they were at Yitzias Mitzrayim. And the Gemara's question is based off of the Havamina that each Shevet received a portion proportional to how many members it had. So if it had a lot of members, it's going to get a big portion. If it had a few members, it's going to get a smaller portion. And therefore, Shevet Yosef, meaning Menashe, was tining, look, when we left Mitzrayim, we had far fewer members, and we simply don't have enough land. And this question isn't relevant according to the Manda Amar of Bayi HaAretz, because the portion they would receive would be based off of the current members, not the members when they left Mitzrayim, as it seems we have a raya for the Manda Amar of Yotzei Mitzrayim. Now, it's important to note that later on we're going to see this whole Hanacha is incorrect, and that Eretz Yisrael was actually divided equally among the Shvatim, regardless of how many members the Shevet had. However, the Gemara pushes away this question as well by explaining that even according to the Manda Amar Bayi HaAretz, this request of Yosef would be valid. Why is that? Mishum Tefalim Dehavin Afishi Lahu. It's because of Tefalim, which literally means children. And over here, according to the Rashbam, it's referring to Yosaimim, that there were a lot of Yosaimim in Shevet Yosef, and all the portions that they would be receiving have to be divided among these Tefalim, among these Yosaimim, these orphans, and they simply didn't receive enough. So it's not a valid question either. Now the Gemara just pauses and tells us, Amar Abaye says, Shma Mina, we can learn from the above, the Loi Havachad, the Loi Shakil. There wasn't a single single person in Am Yisrael that went into Eretz Yisrael that didn't get a portion. If you want to say there was a person that didn't get, he should have petitioned. He should have said, look, I didn't get a portion. I wouldn't see anyone who's Seveach other than the B'nai Slavchad and the B'nai Yosef. And so it must be that everyone else going into Eretz Yisrael received a portion. Now, even though there is a technical possibility of somebody not getting a portion, how so? Well, because according to the Manda Amar of Yetzim Mitzrayim, it could be that an under 20-year-old Yosaim left Mitzrayim, so he wouldn't get anything. And the answer to that would be that he for sure had a relative who died in the Midbar, so he would inherit his relative. And we could also technically say that according to the Manda Amar of Bai Ha'aretz, that he was under 20-year-old Yosaim when he entered the land, and he had no ancestors that he would inherit either. Then this as well, Abai would answer, since we don't see anyone else petitioning for Nachla, besides for B'nai Tzalafchad and B'nai Yosef, it must be that everyone got a portion of the land, no matter who they were. And we continue with this. V'chitim, if you want to suggest, that Tzavach Vahani Kasvei Kra, that Tzavach V'loyahani Loi Kasvei Kra, that actually there were people that petitioned for a portion. The only ones that were mentioned in the Pasuk are those who were Tzavach Vahani. They petitioned and they actually got a portion. But those who petitioned and didn't get a portion are not written in the Pasuk. That can be because Habanei Yosef did Tzavchi V'loyahani because Venu Kra. The Bnei Yosef, they petitioned for a bigger portion and they did not receive a larger one, and the Pasuk still writes them down. And so it must be concluded by the fact that we don't see anyone else petitioning, anyone else asking for a portion besides for B'nai Slavcha and B'nai Yosef that everyone else got. However, the Gemara pushes away by saying it's not a raya and that it's possible that many people did request a Nachla and were not granted it, and the only reason Yosef's request was mentioned is to teach us a different lesson. What would that lesson be? Hasam Eitzat Tevekamash Malon. Over there by B'nai Yosef, it's teaching us a good piece of advice. The Bai Leila initially is the Rurim Eina Bisha, that a person should be careful of Eina Bisha, which is what we call Ayin Hara. What does this have to do with Ayin Hara? This is what Yeshua had told them. The Pasuk says, Yeshua told them, Im Am Ravata, if you're very numerous people, if you have a lot of members in your Shevet, Alei Lecha Ayara, go up to the forest. He was basically telling them, Lechu Vechbo Atzmechem Biyarim, you should go and hide yourselves among the forests, so you shouldn't have an Ayin Hara on you. If you're coming and saying, we have many people, so I, Yeshua, tell you, if you're afraid of Ayin Hara, go into the forest, people won't be able to see you, and then you won't have Ayin Hara. Now, what was their response? Kofi Chasom Bez on top. Amrulay, they told him, Anan Mizar de Yosef, we're from Yosef, Deloy Shalta Be Ayin Abisha, Ayin Hara doesn't have any power over Yosef. Dichsev, the Pasuk says, in description of Yosef, Ben Pyrus Ale Ayin. And Va'amar Bavo, Rabavo says, I'll take Re Ale Ayin, don't read as Ale Ayin, Ela Oile Ayin, that they're above the eye. Yosef and Memela, all the people that come from him, are above the eye, meaning Ayin Hara is not shilat over them. And that's why we don't have to go to the forest. We're not afraid of Ayin Hara. We really just want a larger portion. And Rabbi Yisrael Chanina Amar, he tells us, Mehacha, and this is a source we know that Yosef and his descendants cannot be subject to Ayin Hara, because Yaakov Avinu had told Yosef's kids, Menashe and Ephraim, V'yidgu l'arayv b'karev ha'aretz, what's the lashon of V'yidgu? Ma dogim shebayam, ma machas ma'alayim, ve'ino ayin shalatis bohem, just like fish in the sea, the water covers over them, and the eye has no shlit over them. You can't see the fish, they're underwater. Avzar shal Yosef, so to the descendants of Yosef, ein ayin shalatis bohem, the eye doesn't have any power over them, and this is the source the people of Yosef can't have Ayin Hara on them. And this could be the reason why the pasuk brought up B'nai Yosef asking for a larger portion, because we're learning something about Ayin Hara. And once again, it is a possibility that there were other people that made requests to receive a portion, and those requests were not granted. Now, going back to Brisa that we had mentioned on the previous daf, we had said Meraglim Yeshua v'kalav notul chalkam, that the Meraglim, the spies that went to scope out Eretz Yisrael, they lost their portion, and where did it go? To Yeshua and Kalev. The question is, Menon Amili, how do we know this? Or Meruli tells us, Damakra, because the pasuk says, V'Yeshua benun v'kalav ben Yifuna, chayu mino anashim rohim, that Yeshua benun and Kalev ben Yifuna, they lived from these people. Now, my chayu, what does that mean that they lived? Even if I want to say chayu mamesh, that they lived, meaning they survived and they didn't die as the other Meraglim did. We have a different pasuk that tells us, V'loy noisar mehem ish ki im Kalev ben Yifuna v'Yeshua benun, that not a single man of them was left over except for Kalev and Yeshua. So we already know that Kalev and Yeshua lived. Elamai chayu, so what does it mean? Chayu, shechayu bechelkam, that Yeshua and Kalev lived in their portion. We continue explaining the braisa, Misloinin v'adas kairach, loy ha'alem chelik ba'aretz, that the Misloinin v'adas kairach, they didn't have any chelik in the land, and no one inherited their chelik either, and that means that their chalakim went to the greater pool of Am Yisrael, and it was divided up among all the other shvatim. Ask the Gemara, how could you say this? Shvatan, you have a braisa that says very clearly, Meraglim Misloinin v'adas kairach, Yeshua v'kalev, not l'chelkam, that Yeshua and Kalev actually took all these portions, and not that Misloinin v'adas kairach lost their portions and went to all of Am Yisrael, it went to Yeshua and Kalev. So Gemara answers like Kasha, no problem. Mar Makish Misloinim Meraglim. The Mandomer of this Braisa compares the Misloinim to the Meraglim, and Mar Loi Makish Misloinim Meraglim. The Mandomer of the original Braisa doesn't compare them. How do we know this? The time we have a Braisa that discusses the Benoit Slavchad, and let's just read the entire Pasuk inside before we read the Braisa. The Pasuk says that they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and told him, Avinu Mes Bamidbar, our father died in the Midbar, Vehu Loi Hayi B'Seicho Eda, he was not among the congregation, Hanoi Adam al Hashem, they gather up against Hashem, Ba'adas Kairach, in the congregation of Kairach, Kibachetoy Meis, he died in his sin, Ubanim Lehayuloy, and he didn't have sons. Now we explain this pasuk piece by piece, Avinu Meis Bamidbar, Zat Salafchad, that's referring to the father Salafchad, who died. And when they had said, Vuhuloy Haya Besecha Eda, what's this referring to? Zahadas Miraglim, that's them telling Moshe Rabbeinu that he wasn't part of the group of the Miraglim, and when they told Moshe, Hanoi Adam al Hashem, that he wasn't part of this group, Ilu Misloinim, this is referring to the Misloinim, and Ba'adas Kairach, when they said this, Kimashmoy, that's exactly as it sounds, that he wasn't part of Kairach's group. And there was a reasoning of why they should get some sort of nachla. What do we learn from this braisa? Mar makish misloinim lemraglim. The mandam of the second braisa clearly compares the misloinim to the miraglim because he understands that they're all part of the same pasuk. Whereas Umar, the mandam of the first braisa, the original one from yesterday, le makish misloinim lemraglim, he doesn't compare the misloinim to the miraglim. And here's one of our other questions from Rav Popov. Amar leir, Papa labai, Rav Papa asked abai, uman makish misloinim lemraglim. According to the one who does compare the misloinim to the miraglim, echbo Yeshua v'kolev v'yartu l'kul Eretz Yisrael. Do you want to say that Yeshua and Kalev yarshined all of Eretz Yisrael? We know the Misloinim refers to people who complained. We have this all throughout Sefer Bamidbar, that there were people that complained to Moshe Rabbeinu about this and that. And if we're saying that all those people lost their portions and they went to Yeshua and Kalev, well, that was basically all of Am Yisrael, and it means that Yeshua and Kalev inherited all of Eretz Yisrael. That doesn't make sense. So Amar Lehi responded to him, Misloinim Shabadas Kairach Kamrinon. When we're talking about Misloinim, we're specifically talking about the Misloinim of the Adas Kairach. Adas Kairach is the congregation of Kairach, all the people that were around him, and Misloinim refers to those people, and so it's just those portions. On to another question, we understand according to the first Manda Amar that the division of Eretz Yisrael is based off of the people that left Mitzrayim. So we could understand the pasuk in Yeshua that tells us that there were 10 portions that fell to Menashe. How do we get 10 portions? Well, Shisa, the Shisa Batei Avos, 6 of the 6 Batei Avos. Batei Avos means paternal families, meaning there were 6 main families of Menashe that left Mitzrayim, and so they got 6 portions of Arbadidhu and 4 of theirs, meaning 4 that Benoit Slavchad received. And soon in the Gemara, we're going to explain how they got 4 when we had just mentioned that they get 3. But either which way, right now we're dealing with 4. And so Ha'asar, that's a total of 10, and therefore the pasuk makes sense. El Manda Amar Labaya Ha'aretz, but according to the Manda Amar, there it's just apportioned only based off the people that went into the land. Tamani Hudahava, there was only 8, not 10. How do we get a cheshbon of 8? Shisa the Shisa Bate Avais. There were 6 because of 6 Bate Avais, who traded who, and only 2 that Benoit Slavchad would be receiving, because they wouldn't be receiving a portion from their father due to the fact that he was a Yotze Mitzrayim, but not a Nichnas LeMitzrayim. So they would only be getting a portion because of their grandfather Hefer, and so it would only be 8, not 10. However, we respond to this question by saying, well, Tamech, according to your reasoning, Rav Papa, Uleman Darmel Yotze Mitzrayim Nischalka Aretz, according to the Mandamar of Yotze Mitzrayim, Teshavu, it's still only 9, it's not 10. How did you get 10? As we had just mentioned before, the Mishnah told us Benoit Slavchad received 3 portions, not 4 portions, and 6 plus 3 is 9, not 10. Elamayas LeMemar, so what are you able to say to explain that there was really 10 portions? Chad Achad Abba Havalhu, they had a brother of their father. Slavchad wasn't an only child. It must be that he had a brother as well, and that brother also died in the Midbar, and therefore the portion he should have received would go back up to his father, Hefer, and then be distributed among his descendants. And so that extra portion would be number 4 for Benai Slavchad, 3 because of what we had mentioned before, and now the 4th one from that brother. And once we're saying there was another brother and Slavchad wasn't the only one, well, Hachinami, so too also, according to the Mandamar of Bai Ha'aretz, we would say, Trei Achid Abba Havalhu, that the father, meaning Slavchad, actually had 2 brothers and not just 1, and that would also account for 4 portions for Benoit Slavchad. Now we'll explain this in a moment. Let's just continue for a little bit. The Tanya of a Braisa that says, this is what Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is what he responded to Benoit Slavchad. Nasin titen lahem nachas avien b'seich achi avien. You shall surely get to them the nachla of their father among the brothers of their father. What's this telling us? Zu nachlas avi avien. This is referring to the nachla of the father of their father, meaning Slavchad's father, Hefer. And when the pasuk tells us, v'avartas nachlas avien lahen, you shall transfer the nachla of their father to them, zu chelik b'chayra, that's a chelik of the b'chayra, of the firstborn Slavchad was supposed to receive because he was the b'char, and they got the chelik as well. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, where he tells us, af chelik achi aviyem natlu, they also got the chelik of the brothers of the father, meaning Slavchad's brothers, shemar, because it says, nasin titein, you shall surely give, and this is a double lashain. And just one more bit before we explain, ulamanda amr trei achid abba havalhu, according to manda amr, that their father had 2 brothers, hahu me'achuzas nachla nafka, he learns to add this extra word, achuzas nachla, that they got an extra portion because of that. In other words, we're explaining the reason why we have an extra nachla over here that they're getting, not 3, but 4, is due to the fact that they're not only inheriting their father, Tzlafchad, but they're also getting portions from their father's brother or brothers that had left Mitzrayim but didn't survive the Midbar. And to make it easier, the Rashbam suggests that Hefer, the father of Tzlafchad, had 8 sons, and 2 had died in the Midbar besides for Tzlafchad. That's a total of 3 dying, and those 5 portions of the 5 sons going into Eretz Yisrael revert back to Hefer, as we've explained previously. Then they get divided among all the survivors surviving people. And since Slavchar was a Bechor, his daughters got a double portion from him and another two portions for the brothers who had died. So that's a total of four portions, and that's how this pasuk that ascribes 10 nachlois to Menashe makes sense, even according to the Manda Amar of Bai Haaretz. And now continue to discuss this, and this is our last question from Rav Papa, V'amar Rav Papa Labai, Rav Papa asked Labai, Kura Maika Chashev, how is it making an accounting for 10 portions? Where does it get the number 10 from? Eat Falun Kachashev, if it's counting children of Menashe that went into Eretz Yisrael, Tuvahavu, there was many children went into Eretz Yisrael, way more than 10. And Eat Batei Avos Kachashev, if it's only making an accounting of the Batei Avos of the main family members of Menashe, so Shitahavu, there was only 6. We know there were 6 main male family members of Menashe, so we should have only said 6 portions. How is the pasuk making an accounting of 10 portions of Menashe? It just doesn't fit. And the answer to that is Kufiyotas Amaralfa on Tabla, Oilam Batei Avos Kachashev. Really, it's only counting Batei Avos, which is 6. What's the chiddush in saying 10? What do we learn from the fact that Bnei Slavcha took 4 portions? Well, Kamash Malan is teaching us that Bnei Slavcha natal chelik b'chayra, that the Bnei Slavcha got a chelik of b'chayra because their father was a b'char. And Alma, we see from here, Eretz Yisrael mochzek is he, Eretz Yisrael is considered mochzek. Now, we're going to be discussing this tomorrow as well, and this has to do with a previously mentioned concept called Roy versus mochzek. Namely, a b'char only gets double in what his father is mochzek in, what he currently has, not what will be coming to him later. So, for example, if Yaakov dies before Yitzchak, and then shortly afterwards Yitzchak dies, Reuven, Yaakov's Bechor, only gets double in what Yaakov owned at his Petira. Even though Yitzchak's Yerusha does go to Reuven and his brothers, it was only Roy at the time of Yaakov's Petira. It wasn't Muchzik by Yaakov. And bringing that to here, the fact that Bnei Slavchad got double because of their father's firstborn status shows that Eretz Yisrael was always considered to be owned by the Shvatim. It was always Muchzik. Even though it wasn't conquered till many years later, it's always considered owned by them. That's why Bnei Slavchad get the double portion that their father would have received. Let me just explain one more thing that we mentioned in this brayse from 2 daf ago. In regards to the children of those who had lost their nachla completely, how did those children who entered Eretz Yisrael get a nachla? So Amar Meir, the brayse had stated, v'habanim, those children, notlu b'schos avi avien, u'b'schos avi moseihen, they got a portion of Eretz Yisrael because of their father's father or their mother's father. In other words, even though they didn't get the nachla of their father because their fathers lost their nachla completely, they still got the nachla of their grandfathers from their mother and father's side. The Gemara just asked on that, v'tanya, we have a brayse that says, b'schos atzman, they got a nachla because of their own schos, nothing to do with their grandparents. And the answer is, l'kasha no stira, hakman dar mali yotzei Mitzrayim. The first brayse is going according to Manda Amar, that Yisrael was apportioned based off of those who left Mitzrayim. So the only way these children were able to get a nachla is because of their grandparents who had left Mitzrayim. And hakman dar mali ha'aretz, the second brayse we just quoted, is going according to Manda Amar of those who went into Eretz Yisrael. And since these banim, these children, went into Eretz Yisrael, they got a nachla. Alternatively, we could say, havaha l'bay ha'aretz. Both of these brayses are going according to the Manda Amar, that Eretz Yisrael is apportioned to those going into the land. And v'loikasha still wouldn't have a problem. The second brayse is talking about that they were 20 when they went into Eretz Yisrael, so they got a portion because they were 20, they were of age. And the first brayse is talking about that they were not yet 20 when they got into Eretz Yisrael, therefore the only way they'd be able to get a portion is because of their grandparents. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss the Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.